The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. It's 23rd of January, 2024. Johnny Boyce here. You're right, John.
How about it?
Yeah, nice. Is it raining where you are? It's gone from freezing to now tipping down with rain. We have lovely weather in Britain, don't we?
It's a bit drizzly.
Yeah, awful. I want to move away. I think I'm going to move away for 3 months of the year. Somewhere nice, somewhere warm. Let's look at the markets. Are they warm? Are they heating up? Because, do you know what, I was reading an article, actually. It came out yesterday, right? I maybe should have picked up on it yesterday, but it's from the EY Item Club, and they say they see recovery in late 2024 this year, and they say inflation is going to come out faster than the bank thinks, and interest rates are coming down faster than they think. So that's good news. But go on.
Well, I was speaking to Jamie Constable at Singer yesterday. Yeah. I don't think that interview's up on site yet, but it will be soon. And he has much the same view. We do a big drop-off in inflation sometime in the spring. Although we've got a nasty jump to come next month as well as the energy price cap goes up. But what we will see is that as inflation drops out of the system, rates potentially come down towards the end of the first half. You'll see some serious tailwinds for consumer confidence and the markets as well.
Yeah. By the way, John's got a bit of a dodgy mic. Yesterday, someone said to me I was talking quietly. I realised my mic was quite far away from me. So, John, you'll have to speak up because I think the mic you're using, I know you had a bit of a problem with your mic just then.
Yeah.
So shout if you can. Just sing everything. There we are. There's the indices. FTSE 200 down. Your favourite stock is number one riser, John. Ocado. Anglo-Americans up there. JD Sports. I shouldn't mention that. So one person. Dave from London it was. I remember Dave said, stop mentioning JD Sports. I don't hold any JD Sports. Just they were in the news a bit. FTSE 250, it's up a smidge. In fact, the best performing indices is the AIM All Share. Yes! Get in there. Up 0.34% to 737. And, the thing is, when you see these, John, these macro, so they are forecasts, of course. In fact, let me just get the words up here, what this EY Item Club says. They said that the UK economy will benefit from falling inflation and lower interest rates in the second half of the year, boosting growth and allowing the government to offer pre-election giveaways. That'll be massive. They can't give away enough to win enough votes. So they're going to try and chuck everything at it starting in March the 6th, I think the budget is. An increase in gross domestic product. So it was of 0.7% in 24. They've upped that now. They're saying, I think, 0.9%. And and UK economy is now forecast to grow by 1.8% in 2025, up from 1.7% predicted in October. And there we are.
The further out you get, the less forecast meet.
Yeah.
I guess for this year, you know, it's hardly blowing the lights out. You know, as Jamie Singer pointed out, you know, we are sort of still in sort of treading water in that respect.
Yeah. But surely I said that the interest rates coming down. If first of all, of course, inflation is what they're looking at. If that comes down fast, and they think they've solved it, they've cracked the inflation's back, and interest rates come down, it'll have a double effect, you know, because first of all, of course, then, you know, any company with debt will struggle less going forward. There'll be more money to spend. But also, you know, people saving who have taken a hammering, you know, in 2022, 2023 in the markets, maybe, you know, and now put their money in a safe interest account, then that will be going down. You know, savings rates will be coming down. And when you're seeing the market rally and, you know, double digit percentage gains, and you are sitting on, 3% in your savings account, you think, well, why don't you put it back in the market? Now it's time, the bull market's here. So it'll be interesting to see. Anyway, let's go to the front page of Vox. Chatted to Andrew Pollard. They've raised some money. They said that funds allow further development of a beet supply mine. Lots going on there. I know some people are angry about that, raising money. But the thing is this, if you're a loss-making company, where do you get the money from? It's part of the market, isn't it? If you want to avoid placings, then I suggest, you know, invest in a company that is generating cash.
Yeah, it's not that simple. In some sectors, you know, they are developing assets. You know, you are going to see placings, and that is how they fund the developments of what can ultimately one day be very, very lucrative assets. Yeah, if you want something a little bit steadier, then you know, go for cash generative companies. But that's not to say that if you have a more speculative mindset and want to perhaps participate in massive upside should these projects come to fruition, then this is the game you play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. If you want high reward, you've got to take high risk. That's it. I did say yesterday, John, by the way, I was saying, you know, how do Peter invest? And I said, largely, you know, investing in individual companies, especially smaller companies, you know, the more speculative side, it's very hard. It's very hard. And I think a lot of people aren't suited to it. And most people lose money. Most private investors lose money on individual companies because, you know, they hold on to their losers too long and they cut the winners too fast. And I think most private investors, the backbone of their portfolio should be a fund. And then you can have a dabble around, but you should top up that fund on a regular basis. So when you get to the point where you're going to retire or something, at least then you've got that fund there. If you've blown it on private, you know, because investing's not easy, is it? It's not easy at all, you know?
Well, that approach you might call core and satellite.
So yeah.
You have your core, steady foundational holding in your portfolio, and your satellites provide the alpha potentially.
Exactly.
And you know, those satellites could be, you know, other funds in perhaps riskier or, you know, more speculative areas of the market, or they could be individual equities.
I think
your core could be your pension, your corporate pension. I think equities a lot of the time, you know, will provide you with the opportunity for fun and learning how it all works.
Yes, but I think always have that, like I said, that core there as the almost safety net. Because my rule of thumb is this: essentially, take your age. That's what percentage should be in quite a safe, fund. Locus. So if you're 50, for example, and you've had, I mean, you know, over 10 years of experience investing, I mean that if you haven't, you've got less than that, I think it should be your age plus half, so 75%. Now, if you do put 75% in a fund on a regular basis, you know, and literally you dabble in other individual stocks and they do well, doesn't matter. The individual stocks will take a bigger part of your portfolio and you can put the rest of that into a fund if you want. But I think overexposing to really small, tiny, you know, micro-cap stocks when you're not doing it full time, it's hard. Even the professionals get it wrong on a regular basis. So, you know, I don't see why private investors would expect to come in, you know, and within year one, year two, and make money. Okay, the bull market is different, but in a bear market, it's very hard indeed.
Are we going to ever have a return to the market conditions we had for the last 10 years? And again, this is something I talked about with Jamie. We had an era of free money to all intents and purposes, and you know, that rising tide, that free money lifts all boats. What we may be coming into is an era where stock picking comes to the fore again.
John, that free money thing was, you know, at the start, that was an emergency. The reason why I reduced interest rates was a temporary emergency measure. It lasted for 10 years, you know. And like I said, I don't see, hopefully now it'll give a good reset to the banks so that they don't go crazy. They can bring interest rates down to a level that's, it helps the economy, but it's not sort of free money. So like 2.5%, 3%, whatever it's going to be, you know. But it will help. So I think stock picking, yeah, definitely.
Well, what you may see, you know, is you know, companies that were built in that era that really exist on the base of free money struggle in the sort of conditions that we're likely to have in the years ahead. You know, you're likely to see a lot of businesses misallocated capital. You know, that will disappear. That will go up in smoke potentially. But you will have a situation where what's left at the end of it is a much stronger, more efficient, more productive pool of investment opportunities.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's interesting, actually. Someone did point out here. Where was that? ME. The S&P sales through an all-time high. Yeah. You have to understand, if you look at equal-weighted S&P, it's, the performance isn't anywhere near as good as, you know, the performance with the big titans in there, the Mag 7, as they're called. But I do see that as a bullish thing. I do see a trickle-down because even the big stocks, I know they've done a huge return, but it gets to the stage where they can't keep returning that amount. They can't keep going. So I think people will look for, you know, opportunities elsewhere, and you'll get that trickle down. I think you'll see a broader rally happening. But it, by all means, join in the comments. That's what the live bit's about. Join in the comments there. Hit that thumbs up. Subscribe if you could to the channel. And don't forget to download the Box Markets app, boxmarkets.co.uk/app. Graham says, my wife is with her sister in Gran Canaria. Am I working hard? Who has got, and I'm working hard. Who has got it right? January is an awful month. Yeah, I've often had an ambition to be able to spend 3 months of the year away from the UK. You know, maybe December, January, February, come back March. But yeah, it's definitely worth thinking about. Okay, front page of Fox. Let's have some content here. I just started watching a bit of that thing. Gervais Williams, very clever guy. He's an intelligent guy. I do enjoy watching him. And he's chatting with Paul there about many companies. In fact, let's have a look at the companies he's talking about. There we are. There's quite a few there. You, Good, Lords Group, Concurrent, Hondo, Silent Canode, Smart Tech, Truefin, Ingenta, Vactors on there. That'll get quite a play of views. Oxford Biodynamics, Inspiration Healthcare, Hustle World, loads of them. So check that out there. There's an update here on Net Scientific. I don't know much about them, John. What are they all about?
They're an investor, sort of investment company, VC style, venture capital style, invest in deep tech, life sciences. I kind of think, you know, as risk appetites improve across the market, these are the kind of companies where you'll see some potentially quite sharp re-ratings higher. Price to NAV on this company is about 50%. So basically, okay, the value of its share price is half the value of its stated assets, mm-hmm, of its book value. So, you know, we see this across the sector, particularly in the sort of more, again, more sort of speculative private market side of things. You know, you're still getting investment trusts, investment companies, investors like this trading at very deep discounts to assets.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that goes back to, you know, sort of some of the beauty and some of the sort of you know, behavior we saw when money was cheap, that a lot of assets were being priced, yeah, private assets priced too highly. But a lot has changed since then. So you know, this is where you can find some real sort of deep value bargains, this sort of sector. Yeah. This company is liver diagnosis, liver diagnostics.
Okay. Crimson Tide shares gain. They don't update here. Victor's writing about that there. What are they, 11.6 million market cap?
Yeah, turnover. The important thing here is that they are going to be EBITDA profitable this year.
Okay, good. And they've got those, you know, nice sort of recurring contracts, haven't they, which, you know, people like to see. It's at a recent low there, but it's starting to rally a bit, which is quite nice. About 50-day, it's Crimson Tide. Yeah, and they've got some big contracts with some, you know, some big supermarkets, all that kind of thing.
There was one thing in the statement that I actually quite like, really like, actually, the employee benefit trust. So, you know, I think this is something I look for in companies, that, you know, they incentivize their workforces by enabling them to enjoy the upside that they create through the company's share price.
Yeah. There's you, John, taking the pull bag. You put a shirt on for that one, didn't you?
A while ago, that one. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Bouncing a little bit, Big Technologies. I did a run through on that to my spreadsheet. I know it's come down a lot, but
it was a massive fall, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of upside there. Look at Brook Forecast and that stuff. I don't see a lot of upside there. If I just, you know, I mean, they're on about 5x sales anyway, but I just think I don't see the value there, to be honest. And of course, it could be a momentum and growth play there, but it's you know, growth is concerning now, isn't it? Most followed, Eastar Resources, Lord Group, Atlantic Lithium. In fact, they haven't been in news yet. Most read today is Advance. Boohoo. I didn't check this trading update up. Any good?
No, not a lot. But if the CFO stepped down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Do you know what? I did read that this morning, but I didn't even read the trading update. It's just, exactly. So CFO is stood down by mutual agreement. You often wonder whether it's really mutual. I think, is it? Is it mutual? You know, listen, Sean.
One can
step down. Step down or give the elbow, okay? It's up to you. But if you want to say you've left, it's fine. It's fine. Boo is still struggling on the chart there. In fact, another one sort of retailer today, Quiz, came out with a trading update, didn't they?
Can't see this company going to be around for much longer.
Really? Oof. Is that bad? Let's have a look.
It's basically sales down 11%. Liquidity is draining from the business at a rate of knots. And reviewing strategic options.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. The group's £4 million bank facilities available will expire in June. There are no financial covenants applicable to these things. Okay. Yeah, all right.
This is one I probably wouldn't pay a lot of attention to.
Yeah, okay.
But this is what I mean, you know, this sort of in retail, which was a sector that Jamie and I spoke specifically about, you know, you've got winners and losers. Mm. The strong will survive. It's all about stock picking.
Yeah. Atlantic Lithium, notification of major holdings. So they've increased, have they? Is this just the voting rights are sore and peed and whatnot? So 28 and 5.2% respectively. As the company's largest shareholder, we believe that Assor's purchase of Atlantic Lithium shares at a premium to the current price, increasing their holding, reflects their belief in substantial value potential that together with Piedmont, we intend to unlock in the Ahwahnya Lithium project. In fact,
It's a great project. The lithium price is on its knees at the moment. So, you know,
That's it.
They're confident in lithium. They're confident in the project. So, why not buy a small premium?
Yeah, and that's it. The thing is, the thing to keep an eye on is lithium prices, okay? Because, like Neil came on the podcast and said, we don't mind at the moment. We're obviously not producing anything. Our cost of production is very low. So, there are companies out there whose cost of production is a lot higher than ours. We'll be taking out again. They'll just mothball it. So what happens is then when the ramp up in lithium happens and the price goes up, I mean, the share price will rise anyway, if lithium price goes up for... But... by the time that happens, 2025, they're predicting deficit, then there'll be a lot less producers in the market as well. So, so the share price, that's what you get with commodities like that, is the hot commodities. You get these boom bust cycles where literally now we're in a bit of a bust cycle, but that won't take long before it booms, you know? And then, I think, if you are into resource companies and miners, it's worth taking a position in some lithium producer because, it'll move in tandem. Russ says, will Assor go hostile? As the major shareholder that they know all has a huge resources and ASIC is far lower than most. Well, I don't think they go hostile. They're good friends with them, but I mean, they can see the opportunity there, so they're increasing their stake, So, now is the time to go aggressive while lithium price is depressed. That's ME saying that. Market's as bleak as the weather, says Michael. Absolutely. Rich Dad is comments on Vast. I better not repeat that, but there we are. Mm-hmm. It's a couple of good trade updates there. I thought Brave Bison had a good update. I mean, 28 million markup. They are in social media marketing and advertising, all that stuff, but not a bad performance considering for the year. Their top line revenue still up 12%. Profit before tax up 38%. And so revenue's top line is less than 20 million. Net revenue, gross profit, 20 million. 16 up 23%. So I think EBITDA not less than 4.3. Net cash ahead of market expectations at 6.8. I mean, to me, that's good going in these markets. That's really well. I remember when Oliver, who is it? There's two brothers involved in this. When they first changed over, they took over. Oliver came on the podcast and his brother Theo. Theo didn't come on. But they are now, it went from obviously a managed, now they've taken a big chunk of shares and I like that, when you get someone taken over and they put their money where their mouth is. And so I quite like what Brave Bison are doing here. If you look at everything else in their sector, it's been absolutely hammered. I mean, they've taken a bit of a hit, but those figures are very respectable, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Very respectable.
It's been one of the biggest downturns ever. The advertising markets and all that stuff, but they are holding their head above the water there, so it's quite impressive there. Anything you've seen, John, on the wires?
On the wires, Chapel Down, they're on a homepage. Chapel Down.
Oh yeah, they've gone from Aquis to AIM, haven't they?
I don't think they've moved. I think they might still be on Aquis.
They may still be on there as well. Are they okay?
I think so. But good year for them. Nice sales growth, bit strong harvest, lots more acres planted. It's up for about, 906 acres now, up from 788 last year. I couldn't work out how this is going to translate into profitability from this statement, but they talk about continuing to grow profitably. But it's a nice sector. It was subsector.
Post-retro.
As I said, so have a read of that article. We did a sector report on the drink sector the other day as well.
Yeah, strong traditional method sparkling wine volume and value growth underpinned the premiumization strategy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A touch of sparkle.
From a sort of portfolio perspective, H&T has had an absolute shocker.
The thing is, in there, I think sometimes I don't know who wrote that RNS, but there's some positives in there that's buried below negatives.
There's positives in there. You can't really be critical for telling the market as it is. I mean, you know, they've at least not done what some companies try to do. They sort of tuck the bad news away somewhere.
Yeah.
But it has resulted in a fairly strong reaction to share price reaction to this news. Pawnbroking goes from strength to strength. The trouble is they've got to sell this stuff as well, and that's where the weakness has been. So really the clues have been there for some time, and I put my hands up to an error here. Watches of Switzerland, which we talked about the other day, you know, I'm sort of saying this is a retail market, luxury jewellery, that's going to be tough. But I should have read that across to H&T because they've struggled to flog jewellery and watches as well.
Chris Gillespie there says, you know, it's all looking good until watch out for the however word. All right. The group has made significant progress in 2023, delivering record profits and strong growth. Demand for our core pawnbroking product continues to grow and is attracting an increasing number of customers who are new to the pawnbroking. We're delighted to welcome record numbers of retail customers in the pre-Christmas period. However,
I do think it's an overreaction, I have to say.
Yeah, I do.
It's 11.5% drop. You know, it's a cheap share. Trades on a forecast P, before today, 7.5 times, but obviously a bit less now. But yeah, there's some rapid earnings growth built into its numbers. So yeah, I do feel it's an overreaction. I'm not going to budge on this, but yeah, when I read the RNS, I sort of winced.
You knew. I was surprised by the drop. Actually, it was lowest. I think some people are saying this is getting good value here because some people are jumping in. It did go down to 305. Now it's 350. So I think some people are saying, "Well, I'm tucking this away." They pay a nice dividend, don't they? By 4%? Fair.
Yeah, decent yield. But again, you know, it's. I think it's a good company. What I would say is,
What happened on the 11th of December? Did you why did that drop there? Because it dropped below the 200-day moving average on, let's have a look, the 11th of December.
Banking facilities.
I can't see anything there.
There you go. Nothing specific. Additional financing in November. But,
okay.
You know, they're in expansion mode. And you know, that's a good thing.
It's funny, isn't it?
Tell the story.
It's right though. It's funny. H&T you see in the retail space is quite defensive, but even that's taking a bit of a hit. You think what's going on here? But as we go forward, like I said, interest rates are not going to come down very fast. They are going to come down. I'm going to sneeze. But I can see people, you know, increasingly pawning stuff or selling gold to make up shortfall, you know.
This is exactly the problem. So, you know, the loan book, the pledge book is rising, but, you know, they've got to sell the stuff as well. Retail is a big part of this business, and that's where the weakness has been. Towards the end of the year, we knew that, you know, retail was tough towards the end of the year. The cost of living crisis has bitten, and it's bitten their retail business too, so... underestimated how tough it would be for that side of things. But, you know, you would expect FX to make up for a little bit, given the sort of boom in foreign travel at the moment.
But you know what? Holidays are still expensive. It's almost like, you know, a lot of people I've been hearing is putting it down to revenge spend just after COVID. Almost like, I'm going to have a holiday the next 2 years now because I haven't had one for 2 years. So that's pushed the price of holidays. I wonder how long that's going to last, holidays being expensive. U-Group, again, winners keep on winning. It's knocking out of the park, this company. Raised, it's one of the best performers, I think, in 2022, still at that. Full year revenue expect to exceed $450 million. Average monthly bookings grew by 120%. Strong net cash position of $31 million, up from $18 million. A further $49.8 million cash was also had on deposit for trading counterparts. But yeah,
classic upgrade cycle.
I mean,
last year, they said.
And that's why, essentially, I think, you know, when you're looking at companies, if you get a company come up with bad news, don't just jump in straight away, because you could have a couple of bits of bad news. But conversely, when you have a company put out good news, it tends to keep on giving. Having said that, even with today's strong rise, it hasn't managed to get above that 13.10. But it's been a classic. I missed out on this. I was interviewing Bobby, the CEO, when he's down here, and I could see the growth happening. And I thought, I mean, the margins are getting better now. That tends to happen, but the margins were quite thin. But the top line was growing quite nicely down here. And I was in 2 months by getting into it, but I didn't. But one of the big ones I missed. Excellent that. From 160 to 1270. That's a nice gain. Also, you know, keep on winning, like I said. Another one here, Cornerstone. Another big good news. Agreement with MasterCard. Mm-hmm. The police announced they signed an agreement with MasterCard to launch corporate card scheme. So it was companies with momentum. The momentum continues fundamentally and technically. Look at Cornerstone's ship price, SSF. Look at that. Whoosh, whoosh. Again, I got out here. What am I doing? It was classic, like, you know, stocks I love. You know, top line growth was very good. I think it was good value as well. And I think it still is. But, you know, for some reason, I the wobbles about it. But here we are.
Why? Is this a recurring thing, Justin? I've heard you say several times, selling too early.
Yes. Absolutely.
What's happening?
I mean, there are some stocks. You know, I've got to have 100% confidence in stock. You know, depending on the play of stocks, you know.
100%?
No,
100% confidence.
No,
that's a very small pool of stocks, I would say.
No. What I'm saying is, I've got to have a high conviction rate in them. And of course, I'll miss out. But there have been other stocks I've done very well, more than double this year, quite a few of them. But I mean, it's like sometimes you're going to miss out on some winners. You know, it's like you're going to carry some losers. It's going to happen. You can't have every winner. Just it happens to be that you group is one of the best performers ever.
Why hold something? Why sell something that you're holding? Why not wait and wait?
Why sell something?
Yeah.
Because I don't take a loss on it. So I think I bought around here, a breakout here, and it came down, and I started seeing other FX companies warning. And I thought,
right,
there's sector risk here. And I thought, even though their figures were looking very good, and so I jumped out. And turns out, I don't know, way too early, and their good news kept on. And it's almost like saying, it's odd, isn't it? Stocks and shares, you can look at sector risk and, you know, you can say, okay, that's a read across, get out. But you realise it's the bigger companies in the sector that was warning. Record is one, Argentex is another. And they're saying it's a lot of competition coming to the market. I mean, but these are one of the guys that, like I said, were eating the other people's lunch, I think. They were taking up the share. So it's odd in that respect. But there we are.
Interesting.
And a new group, it's just their top line were growing. So look at the margins, are very thin at the time. But then that has now fattened. A classic example of, it's almost sometimes you can be too fussy. But I think what you should always do, though, is one of the biggest losses you could take is just holding on to a big loss for a long time. You know, that can really puncture your portfolio of value. So it's almost worth, you know, having an estimate in your mind how much loss you're going to take on this company. Because after a while, you know, it's just pointless. The momentum is down. And so, on this company, on any company. Anything else going on? Any other news you've seen, John?
I'm just looking at my rises list, Elico.
In fact, Paul mentioned those on Hot Stocks with Me the day, and he said that it's good because obviously the building trade is a software specialist in that design, isn't it? Building, you know, design environment. So
that's right, yeah. And it seems, you know, throughout all the sort of life stages of construction and buildings management, software as a service based as well. So, you know,
Oh, look at that. I did say to him several times, I said, once it breaks above that and closes nicely, it did have an odd one here. Well, it, seller came in and dropped back down quickly.
Yeah.
But I said, when it closes above that, it should be nice, because that level there, what, 84, 85 pence, and it's done that, really gapped up. That's nice. It may have to come back to support, but that's good there. It's a good sign. Really.
Yeah. And I think this is a company that stands to benefit potentially from, again, something that Jamie and I spoke about, which is the CapEx cycle. So, you know, there's been sort of, you know, years of underinvestment, I think. That could be about to reverse. So yeah, nice little company there. Ocean Harvest, you know, seaweed animal feed, had a good update.
Seaweed animal feed. I like
seaweed
that.
Animal feed.
that's how I remember that now. Seaweed animal feed. Yeah, 13.84 million market cap. Trading update, new hires.
Yeah.
What they're saying. Revenues, what is this for the half year or the year? Oh, 2.4 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2.4 million.
But yeah, pretty strong outlook as well.
Okay.
So potential. Sales coming through the various channels it's set up. And, you know, it's been in build mode and it's now starting to come to fruition. So, again, there was a really positive update from them today. What else did I notice? Watkin Jones, a bit of research on the site for them. It's a funny one, this. It's a really, really quite horrible update. And, you know, you would have thought that you know, again, it's sort of construction. Sort of goes back to that Elico thing. It's been a bit of a downturn in the construction industry.
Yeah.
But
it's probably a result.
Well, look, it's pretty much a loss. You know, profits have been wiped out. Cash is halved. Revenue's up a touch. So, yeah, really, really... Tricky time for them. And a couple of house building bits of house building news. Always keep an eye on house builders. Press Nicholson.
Yeah. Didn't they forecast? They're prophecy one in a while. But, oh, yeah. Watkin Jones sends. Look at that. It rallied that turn a day off a low, but it's come off a bit today. So, Crest, yeah. I mean, they signposted this as well, didn't they? Crest. They came out with a warning a while back, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, there was sort of some bullishness around the house builders. The worst is over, but we're still going to see some horrible numbers coming through. I think the chief exec might have gone.
Where's he gone? Oh, yeah.
Retirement, yeah, chief exec resigned as well.
Yeah. Retirement, Peter Truscott.
Not a sudden change, but you know, bowing out at this point.
If I was him, I'd give it a couple of months. Let it rally a bit, you know, and say, there we are. You don't want to go at the low, do you?
It's a horrible update. It's a horrible update. And Vistry, conversely, was a quite strong update. They've just announced another big scheme, 236 million, 739 homes in Barnet. And it's for me, this is a sign that this switch to a kind of partner-led model, of which a large amount is building affordable homes, you know, based both to buy and to rent. I like this model. I think this is where the industry should be headed.
Yeah, let's look at the Vistry. Yeah, it always looks nice. Yeah, it's like it's strong. It's trying to rally. It's a high series of higher lows there, higher highs. Yeah. Okay.
An absolute ton of news out today. Ton of news.
Yeah, there was once, wasn't there? There was quite a few. Let's look. Any comments here? Lots of comments here. There's lots of traders, so if you don't know the story, stay away. What was that about? For years, it's been placing constantly as a vast. Just ignore the percentages. Work out the minimum you need to fund your retirement. Put that into pension. Then dabble with any excess.
That's fair enough.
I've got mine worked out. It's all right. Thanks for that, Emmy. It's good. Problem with free money is the government was the worst offender and lost all discipline with national debt.
There's a lot of discipline lost in a lot of places.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when something doesn't cost anything. You don't respect it, even any of us. You know, free stuff. Like money, when it doesn't cost anything, people just mortgage up and loan up and get overdrafts. And all of a sudden, they're surprised then when the money starts costing something to borrow. A pullback. I like recent news and interview by John, but still can use a drop. Where's the support, Justin? Hitting 100-day moving average today. Is it dropping, pullback? That's what I didn't realize. Last time I looked at it, it was looking quite. Let's look at this chart.
HBO has been dropping a little bit. It's a related company, obviously. Yeah, there you go. It's a...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things.
That may be support there. You never know, because you can see it's got up there. Who knows? Who knows? It depends.
Keep dropping. I'll have a few then. That's a really, really nice company. All, you know, I mean, I can't remember, you know, all the news they put out is positive. They're a very, very strong team behind that company.
Yeah. Graham M., once Mike Ashley gets close to 30% of a stake, he then uses his influence to get advantages for the Fraser Group. He did it very successfully with Hugo Boss, for one example. He will be pushing Boohoo hard. I assume, Graham, you hold Boohoo, do you?
Fraser's. He's a great businessman.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, John, right? Most people are trading ASOS and Boohoo when the share you should be knowing was Fraser's. Because you look at the chart of that, it's like,
it's amazing.
Think about
him taking stakes in companies, and I've said this before, but it does not mean that he's going to buy them.
No, it doesn't. But there we are. There's if you go back to 2020, this Fraser Group from 2020 has gone from £2 to £7 or £8. £2.50 to £8. Let's look at ASOS, and you can say, you know, who's the clever guy here, Mike or us holding? Well, I don't hold Boohoo or ASOS, but you know, it's almost like, you know, you go with the momentum, because Fraser's had strong momentum and has continued to go up. But these have had down momentum; they've continued to go down.
His most successful acquisitions have been where he's bought brand assets.
Yeah,
you know, so. Yeah, he owns a lot of the brands that get sold in his shops, and you know, that supply of the, you know, it's almost like vertically integrated supply chain. It's fantastic. Set his own prices. It's a really fantastic business. I think that I mean, everyone hated him. He was just persona non grata, and people sort of, you know, they looked at him and thought that his business was somehow a reflection of this caricature that the media painted of him. And, you know, the city didn't like him. He doesn't play by the rules. And that's why I like
him. Yeah. Well, there's been some questionable comments on the way he acts, isn't it, and treats people. I don't know if that's true, but, you know.
No, he says he buys his managers very nicely.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Let's have a look. Oh, Graham does. He said, I owe Fraser's. Well, I'm Graham. If I held Cornerstone, I'd sell half. It could do very well, but it could come back a lot at a fast rise. There's always a chance that when companies rise very quickly, but unless it's backed up by fundamentals and if it's undervalued. But nevertheless, you can still get sellers in small cap companies taking down a bit.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach to take if you've got something that has. I heard someone describe them as supernovaed recently. So, you know, they sort of explosive move upwards, but it can quickly become a quick deflation as well.
Yeah. Toby says, any good entry points for Bell, IUG, ETX, and HVIVO ready to buy now? No. It's not trading. You should do some research and think where you... Well, you tell us. Where do you think? Where do you think the good entry point? And let us know why. Because I'm not over the fundamentals of Bell, ETX, and HVIVO, really. I mean, you know, when we look at companies, it's just... You know,
HVIVO.
Flagging up some ideas. HVIVO. Let's look at the chart.
Cracking company. I think they've... And again, hands up, I own it because I like it. And I think if we look at the chart of that, you may have seen it pull back a little bit recently as well. No, not massively. Big rise there. But you've got a potential entry point. You know, you almost hit 30, back down to about 25. So yeah. I think it's a great long-term growth story. The capacity is going to expand through this new clinic, essentially, that, you know, their flu camp they're building in the Docklands. They put some progress reports and pictures of that out the other day through LinkedIn. You know, the contracts they're winning are just insane. And expanding their portfolio of drugs, human challenge models, you know, all the time. Like it. Talking about them, but...
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Yeah, I'm not allowed to do that. Apparently, because, you know, even though someone mentioned one of my companies yesterday, so I talked about it. Apparently, I'm ramping on stocks. So, all right. I would say some of that. You always got time. You know, when your selling price rises, that comes back. It does settle a bit and go sideways a little bit. So, I wouldn't jump in if you are going to jump in. You know, always start off small because it could, you know, So that's a temporary, a small, short-term downtrend a little bit. But it may have to go sideways a bit, you know. So it's very rare you see a big rise of that, and then it goes back up. But unless they release amazing news, which you never know, you know. Okay, let's just some business stories. UK government borrows falls 7.8 billion. Is that all? Is that all they're borrowing? 7.8 billion. Overdraft is more than that.
In a month.
Yeah. they're saying now this could pave the way for a bit of spending at the budget. Of course they are. It's all set up for that. It's all set up so we can just really unleash the dogs, or whatever. I don't know what the saying is. Or, open up the hatches. Just make the money flow into the economy, because they need boats. They're going down quickly. So they need to sort of, sort it out. This is interesting. China, a terrible run in Chinese stocks. Awful, of course, the property crash. But they're now thinking of a rescue package worth $270 billion. Which will help a lot of resource companies, I suppose. They're looking at mobilize about 2 trillion won. They earmarked 300 billion won of local funds to invest in onshore shares and offshore shares via the Hong Kong Exchange Link. So it's interesting to see that. They are aware of it, aren't they? You know, what the, some of the things he's done for tech companies and also the property crash hasn't helped China at all. And whereas you've got Japan, a near 34-year high in the stock market, whereas China is the opposite pretty much. It's really suffering. So it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, here we are. Any other things, John, on your head, in your head, on a macro level?
Everything in my head on a macro level. No, just wait and have a look at the interview with Jamie. Hopefully up on the side.
Oh, yes. I'll check that out. Okay, Jamie Constable with John. And what are you just checking about macro stuff, yeah?
Yeah, macro. Well, we speak on a regular basis. He's very, very insightful. A deck that's been doing, that he's been doing the rounds with, from Singer. Really, really, really quite insightful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lovely stuff. Thanks, everyone. That's it on this damp, dreary Tuesday. Don't forget, if you could hit that thumbs up button and subscribe and download the Vox Markets app. Until tomorrow, speak then. Bye bye. See you, John. Bye bye bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.